Hi everyone, and welcome again to day two of the Associated Affiliate Cricket Podcast from Scotland, and today we're going to talk about matches in Ireland as well, because they've kicked off. Welcome me to the show, as always, Andrew Dixon. Hi Andrew.
Hi Russ, hi everybody. In the same room for once as well.
In the same room. It's a shock to both of us, we're both confused and disoriented. Let's talk about the Irish game first. Ireland played in Namibia, and Namibia batted first. They lost too many regular wickets and didn't score near enough runs. It's pretty much the summary of their innings.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, nobody really got any sort of start. You know, Kurtzer scored 18 from number four, and then Smith 21, sort of down the order. The Ireland bowlers kept on top of them throughout the innings. John Mooney bowled particularly well. He took 3 for 23.
We're seeing a pattern in this tournament so far, which is the first 6 overs we're getting very heavy scoring, and teams have been held back quite a lot. We've seen this in all the games so far, pretty much, with a couple of exceptions. And then they've kicked on at the end. Ireland didn't need to kick on at the end here. They were chasing such a low target that they streaked to the victory.
Yeah, you got a bit unlucky. They lost Paul Sterling quite early on, but then Niall O'Brien and William Porterfield took the game away from Namibia. They put on about 100 between them. And very professional win from Ireland, as you'd expect from the side.
Yeah, both home sides winning their opening matches. The other match in the afternoon was a pretty important one. We highlighted before the tournament, Nepal versus the United States. The US batted first. This was a game that definitely followed that pattern early on. The US started really quickly and then fell away, but then they kept falling away. They lost way too many wickets.
Yeah, Fahad Babar and Akeem Dodson got off to a fantastic start, both scoring very quickly. But as I say, they fell away after the power play overs. Once the fielders were out in the deep, they found runs very hard to come by. They probably weren't finding the gaps and whatnot, and sort of struggled up to 120 on the loss of last wicket on the last ball of the innings.
Gauchin and Regney really bowled, must have bowled particularly well here, 3 for 16, 3 for 24.
It's been a feature of one of the matches we've seen in Scotland today as well, where the spinner sort of came on and kept the run scoring down and prevented anybody from capitalising on the start, and they bowled really well. I think we expect that from the Nepalese spinners.
Nepal's chase, they didn't have to go particularly quickly, and they took their time. They actually won in the last over. They actually needed 8 in the last over, but they had plenty of wickets in hand. Muller scored 52 off 43 balls.
Yeah, you never quite rule out a Nepalese batting collapse, but they managed to avoid it this time. Muller batted particularly well with his 52, and he said then Katka stayed in. If Katka stays in, Nepal normally win, and that's what happened today.
So, big win for them. That puts a lot of pressure on the US going further in this tournament. Nepal were pretty well placed now. That was one banana skin we highlighted there.
Yeah, I think USA are probably going to find it pretty hard going from there. This was probably, given the start Nepal had to their innings, it was probably they were scoring pretty slowly to start with. It was probably USA's best chance for a win in the tournament, and they've sort of let it slide, really.
Moving to Scotland, the first match today was at my side. It rained overnight. It was quite heavy rain in the morning. The outfield was quite wet in the morning. That was actually delayed by 45 minutes while they cleaned up some water on the edge of the pitch. Somewhat important toss then for Kenya, who won the toss and chose the field so that they could bat in dry conditions later in the day. But again, this is the pattern. The first 8 overs, Chima and Gunasegra were flying. Chima started by slogging and attempting slog a whole bunch of times, but then they started hitting straight, a lot of sixes. Scored almost 10 and over the first 8 overs, but then the 6 overs following, they scored only 20 runs and lost 3 wickets. And that was what killed them, because they didn't actually score heavily enough in that period to put up a defendable target.
Very much the common pattern throughout the tournament so far. You're going to say Gunasegra batted very well for a well-made 51 from 38 balls. Chima, not quite as batted as well as he did in that second warm-up game. He only managed 35. But the rest of the innings, there's nothing there. He managed to score 143. That proved to not be enough.
In the chase, again, we saw Kenya were behind the chase for a fair while. At one point, Karim had scored only 22 or 24 balls, and it looked like Canada was just in a position where they could defend his target. And then Gunasegra let a ball through his legs, and pretty much from that point on, they dropped their heads, and Karim just went nuts. He scored 52 off these last 20 balls, and they won with 9 balls to spare.
Yeah, I think the key for Kenya here was once the run started to dry up in the middle overs, they managed to keep the wickets intact and then able to kick on towards the end of the innings and win the game by 7 wickets. It was quite a comprehensive win in the end.
Turning to the Afghanistan versus UAE game, this is a tale of the two Muhammad Shahzads, but the Afghan version has won the day. The UAE batted first. Muhammad Shahzad opened there and got 43 of 28 balls. Shaman Umar did well, but again, we saw them really dry up over that middle six overs in the total. And although they got to 164, in the end, that wasn't enough either.
No, they actually started very well. There was some very inconsistent balance in the pitch at the start, which obviously no doubt was the early morning rain, but they recovered really well, and Shahzad 43 from 28 balls. Shaman Amwell scored 35 from 25 balls, but got caught just as he was starting to get going. There were some pretty big shots by both him and Shahzad, but the Afghan spinners sort of came on and tightened the noose a little bit. And at the halfway stage, we thought 164 for 6 was going to be a pretty competitive target, but I think the Afghan Muhammad Shahzad made it look like a very low total indeed.
That's true. He just beasted on the bowling. It was too short, the bowling throughout. Either it had a length or too short, and he took 74 of 37 balls. But when he got out, there was a brief five-over period where it looked like he was going to struggle a little bit, but they had enough wickets in hand again to just knock their way over the finish line.
Yeah, I think they were aided a bit by some pretty atrocious UAE fielding. They were dropping some very simple catches and sort of misfielding balls in the deep. Balls that should have been a single were going for four. And Stanek Zai and Shem Wari, again, like the Kenyan batsman earlier in the day, just managed to keep those wickets in hand and cruise to what was eventually a pretty comprehensive eight-wicket win.
The UAE are now in an interesting position. They've lost two matches to start the tournament. It's against the two best teams in the group, presumably, but they will. They're in a position now they really need to beat the Netherlands in the following game, and that's going to be it's basically a battle for the top three position at least, and possibly the top four if Kenya or Canada can cause an upset.
Yeah, and UAE's net run rate is looking a bit on the poor side at the moment after two pretty comprehensive defeats. It's minus 3.3 at the moment, so if there's any rain around, and that could actually prevent UAE from qualifying, it really comes down to it. But Afghanistan are looking very much like the odds-on favourites for top in the group.
So looking at tomorrow's matches, Scotland's playing the Netherlands, Kenya's playing Oman. Oman will be playing their first game of the tournament. We've already highlighted Scotland and Netherlands, particularly important. In Group A, we'll see the first matches for Hong Kong and Jersey, and Nepal versus Namibia. Nepal versus Namibia is possibly a really important game.
Again, that could go either way. Certainly Hong Kong and Jersey, you'd expect Hong Kong to pretty much cruise that. But that Nepal v Namibia game could very much go either way. A lot will depend on how each team bats. Both teams are capable of big scores, but both teams are capable of pretty drastic collapses as well. Namibia, as we know, tend to field 11 all-rounders, so they have a very long batting lineup, but you often see them have a few players get a start, but not really confident to make a big score, and that's proved their undoing in the past, and could well be so again tomorrow.
Yeah, we highlighted this before the tournament too, and we saw it again today. Their batting lineup is a bit uneven in terms of when they're playing players. They actually have to settle on a lineup at some point rather than chopping and changing all the time.
Yeah, in the warm up games so far, and in the two tournament games they've played, they seem to have fielded a different opening pair on each occasion. It's a very sort of unsettled lineup, as you say, and they really need to find out exactly what their ideal batting lineup is. Otherwise, they're never going to really have a settled team.
All right, talk to you tomorrow, Andy.
Yeah.